This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we got double trouble. We got a doubleheader. We have two experts in the world of virtualization and healthcare IT. Today, we have Lola Jordan. She's the president, and Fred Rowell. He's the CTO from a company called Companion Data Services. Welcome. How are you two doing today?
We're doing wonderful, and thank you for inviting us today.
I had to grab Lola from Texas and had to grab Fred from Columbia, South Carolina, and kind of get them in town at the same time. I guess the schedule's always kind of worked out where the planes allowed it, and so they're going to do this interview, and they're going to boogie out of here. Today, we're going to focus in on the company itself, Companion Data Services, what it does, why a federal IT professional should even know about CDS, and then talk about an event coming up in February. And the event is a HIMSS NCA event, and it talks about healthcare IT. And Companion Data Services is going to be moderating this panel discussion that's coming up. But before we begin, let's hear from the person from Texas and find out a little about your background and how you wound up in this world of healthcare IT, Lola.
Well, thank you. I've been in IT since I graduated from college, and the focus has been healthcare all along. I've been with Companion Data Services for almost 3 years. Companion Data Services provides managed services and hosting services to other companies and federal agencies. We are one of the largest healthcare claims processors in the country. We process about 800 million Medicare claims for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as well as providing backbone to numerous other companies. We really like to focus on understanding the business. We are vendor agnostic, and we bring healthcare as our centric view and understanding the business and helping our customers bring it to the next level.
I just want to step back here and have all listeners kind of clean out their ears and maybe rewind this. 800 million. Let's go to that number again. I mean, that's just a big number. I know there's big data out there and there's terabytes and petabytes, but there's 800 million claims here. That's really a really big number. I mean, that's just a lot of claims every day, isn't it, Lola?
That is a lot of claims every day going through our data centers. And to put it in perspective, that's about $1 billion of taxpayer dollars going through the data center every day.
About two-thirds of the total, is that right?
Yes, about two-thirds of the total fee-for-service Medicare Part A and Part B claims.
So, Fred, we dragged you in here from Columbia, South Carolina. Tell us about your background and how you work with CDS, please.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Like Lola, I came right out of college and started working in the computer industry, been in healthcare most of my stint, about 28 years with the parent company of CDS. It's been a challenge, and as much as it's been a challenge, it's been a blessing to be associated with a company that is just driven to deliver the value that we bring to our customers.
Value to the customers. In this case, the customer is a large federal organization called CMS. Lola, I want to ask you a question here. There was a press release late last year. There was an IDIQ that was awarded, and it was up to $15 billion for a group of companies to provide services to CMS. Talk about this IDIQ and what your company does in relation to this this service they're providing CMS, please.
We are very excited about this. About 5-6 years ago, the Enterprise Data Center contract was released, and IBM, HP, and CDS were awarded seats on it. At that time, we'd been given about two-thirds of the fee-for-service Part A, Part B business, and the IDIQ for the virtual data center is taking it to the next level. This was awarded at the end of last year. We were one of the companies selected, and with the recent announcement that we've been awarded the task order 2 for the National Data Warehouse. This will again allow us to continue to provide that high level of service, bring an enterprise architect view to our clients and help make sure that those healthcare claims get paid so our members and beneficiaries can get the services they deserve.
You know, IBM, HP, and then Companion Data Services, CDS, it's kind of like me standing next to two professional football players.
Yeah.
I'm just a little fella. One of these guys, 300 pounds, that can jump up 8 feet high in the air and do these remarkable things. I mean, you're playing with the big boys here, aren't you? I mean, this is a pretty reasonable group to be hanging out with, isn't it? IBM and HP?
Well, we were very excited when we were awarded these contracts at the beginning of the Enterprise Data Center. So excited that we started the mantra of who let the dogs out.
arr, I can bark that one. Yeah, that's an interesting group. And so what happened was they allowed in a total of, I think, 8 or 9 different groups here as part of this IDIQ, all with different types of capabilities. Is that right, Lola?
Yes. With the virtual data center, they really expanded and focused on additional areas for security development. All of these things were inherent in the Enterprise Data Center, but they've been brought to a forefront as we continue to make sure that we're protecting the privacy and data of our clients.
So, Fred, I toss out this number, $15 billion, up to $15 billion. The whole idea here is to reduce expenditures for the federal government, isn't it? I mean, it's taking a large number of data centers and reducing the number in order to make it more efficient. This is the big picture of this whole procurement, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. So, but, you know, $15 million or billion dollars is, although it's a lot of money, when you start putting together an enterprise architecture that's going to take CMS into the future, you know, think about the baby boomers. Think about the Affordable Care Act, the stresses that are going to be placed on that. They're going to need innovation because $15 billion without the innovation and virtualization and what we bring to the table and the other vendors that are with us would be hundreds of billions of dollars. So put it all in perspective. We are definitely driving costs down with innovation that we bring as part of this IDIQ.
So, Fred, what we're looking at now is, I think I had a guy named Tony in here from CMS a while back, and he talked about the number of data centers, and they had like 80 data centers. And so part of this long 10-year plan is to take and reduce that number of 80 data centers to something more reasonable. Half dozen, or how many is going to try to reduce it down to?
Well, I think that what you've got right now, there's 8 people that have been awarded on the IDIQ contract, which all 8 will eventually stand up data centers. So you can theorize there'll be at least 8. Now, what changes based upon the requirements? We really don't know yet exactly what the Affordable Care Act is going to do and demand of CMS. So 8 may be 10, but I bet you it's going to be less than 20.
Less than 20. Wow. So, Lola, the objective here is to consolidate the data centers, reduce energy consumption, and reduce duplication. I had a fellow here who managed the data center for the House of Representatives. He said, I spent 10 years learning, you know, TCP/IP and data center, and now I got to walk around with a thermometer because I can't worry about how hot it is in the server room. And he said, I studied the wrong stuff. I mean, energy consumption is a big part of this as well, isn't it?
Energy consumption is a big part of this. As the computers and the mainframes grew, even their servers as they grew, they were taking up immense amount of space and energy that goes with that. And with the virtualization that's occurring now, and that's the backbone of the technology for the cloud, it's really focusing on how we can bring down that energy consumption.
Lola, I kind of facetiously talked about CDS not being a very big company, but actually you have a big 6-foot-8 guy standing behind you in Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina. Is that right?
Absolutely. As our parent company, they are the largest insurer for the state of South Carolina, as well as having 40 or so wholly owned subsidiaries. I believe they're one of the best-kept secrets in the industry, and one of the reasons why we don't go out flagging around our stripes and everything that we do is because we're here to protect the data. Not only do we have the 800 million Medicare claims, but we'll be processing about 100% of the TRICARE claims in the country by the end of April. So we have to keep things secure so we don't go out there waving the flag to let people know where to find us.
You know, what I find interesting is that we started this conversation with you talking about being vendor agnostic, and it looks like one of these people on the contract is also IBM. And so you can choose to use IBM technology or not, or you can work with them or not with them. It's kind of an interesting relationship. You're maybe just indicative of how things work in Washington, D.C., but you're an enemy and a friend of IBM at the same time in this contract, aren't you?
Absolutely, and it works fairly well because we can go to them to get the advice on how to implement different activities that CMS or other government agencies are requesting. So we rely on them heavily for that, that IBM knowledge. But at the same time, we compete with them to be the most cost-effective. But really, it comes down to the services. And our healthcare knowledge is what separates us from our competition.
From IBM, of course. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, talk more about virtualization and reducing the number of data centers for this big organization called CMS. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Lola Jordan, president, and Fred Rowell, CTO, from a company called Companion Data Services, or CDS. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Lola Jordan. She's president, and Fred Rowell. He's a CTO from a company called Companion Data Services. For more information about the company, you can fire up your computer and go to companiondataservices.com. They have white papers there. They have all kinds of stuff you can download and learn more about this whole idea of managing tremendous amounts of information and reducing the number of data centers to half dozen, maybe eight or nine. It's incredible. Lola, before the break, we talked about, you know, in general concepts about baby boomers and healthcare costs and everything else. What does, from your perspective of running this company here, what do the federal agencies fear about this type of transition?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. I think they fear disruption within baby boomers. You know, we all know that they're one of the largest voting blocks in the country, the impact that they're going to have on Medicare and Social Security. The health care changes coming with the Affordable Care Act that start wrapping into additional areas of our population, security, making sure the privacy of our data is secure. And, you know, with the big one right around the corner, the fiscal cliff, reduced budgets, doing all of this expansion while at the same time trying to keep things secure, keeping it private, and keeping up with any of the other changes that may be coming down the pipeline.
And we don't even know what those changes will be.
No, we don't. You know, that regulations are still being formed, still determining what the health insurance exchanges will look like, determining which states are in and which states are out, which states are going to be on the federal exchange. There is a lot of uncertainty right now as we move forward into the future.
I'm sure Fred will agree from a technical perspective. You know, 5 years ago, no one could have predicted iPads. 5 years ago, no one could have predicted that Intel is no longer manufacturing chips for desktop computers. I mean, it's really a kind of a wild new world of, I don't know where it's going to be 5 years from now, but 5 years ago, I couldn't have predicted it. Fred, let's talk about some more technical challenges
Sure.
here. I guess there's operational challenges in a federal agency like CMS, kind of reducing the number of data centers and being confident in making sure it's going to comply with some of the security regulations and, on top of that, the HIPAA regulations as well. Is that right?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, security is one of the things that are kind of the barrier to, I guess, some innovation. Take cloud, for example. You know, there's plenty of cloud services out there. We got the big guys, Amazon, who, you know, public-based, and you've got some of the smaller players in the game. But at the end of the day, right now, security is keeping people from going to that innovation that's going to reduce cost. Now, from CMS's perspective and from CDS's perspective, we understand security. We understand how to apply that to processing healthcare. So within the uncertainty, we bring some clarity and a direction to help them move forward and take some of that innovation on, again, to reduce cost, to shrink things down, to make them manageable. But to Lola's earlier point is that we shrink today with a ability to expand tomorrow, baby boomers, Affordable Care Act impacts. So those things are looming out there that we have to be positioned today.
More of a dynamic system. So what's going to happen is the restructuring will actually allow for a more dynamic system somewhere down the road.
Right, and that's what's key to a, you know, enterprise architectural plan that these agencies must have, that we have to, as contractors, assist in achieving those goals, right? You find the core mission of the business mission. You adopt the IT spin and technology to it, but you got to be looking forward because, like we said, uncertainty. You've got to prepare the best you can for the uncertainty.
Fred, I think one of the reasons that CMS chose your company is because it's not your first time at the rodeo. You know, it's not the first time you've walked into a data center. I mean, you've been doing this successfully for a pretty long period of time, and I think the previous contract awards indicate that. And so I think what has happened is CMS has gotten confidence in your organization, maybe even in you, believe it or not, in being able to provide a dynamic system that's still, you know, it's got to be dynamic. It's like, you know, I want a van that gets 40 miles to a gallon, but it'll hold 9 people. Well, you're not going to find one. Well, you can get a small car, you can get a big car. So it's tough to do both, you know, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. It's, you know, it's competing goals. What goal? You know, you've got the contracting vehicles with the government that are very point solution versus having to look forward and take an account of, you know, where you want to be in 2, 3, 5 years. How do you position that? I think what we bring to the table is, like you said, our experience. We do this for ourselves, our parent company. We're able to see the reality of it versus, you know, just being a technology company who really doesn't have an operational background to it of a business, we've got that ability to take that and apply it to partners like CMS.
Lola, so when you take and consolidate information, you give people at CMS a greater analytical ability to look at all this data and look for fraud and abuse. And so not only do you reduce the number of data centers, but you increase the ability to do analytics. The fancy word is predictive analytics, but let's talk about just analytics in general. This is one of the benefits of this whole reduction, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It is a benefit for one of the reductions. One of our large subcontracts that we're on with the partner, Northrop Grumman, is the enterprise data processing system, and that's bringing all of the encounter data, even from our Medicare Advantage companies, into the data centers and being able to combine that fee-for-service and that managed care view all in one place, and then bringing in Medicaid and eventually the Affordable Care Act, health insurance exchanges. It will be a lot harder for the providers committing fraud to hide because all of that data will be in one place.
And the other issue, Fred, is data security itself. Back in January, on the 28th, there was a Monday there, and it was Data Security Day. I mean, you know, I've heard of all kinds of things, but Data Security Day? Yeah, what they try to do is just encourage people to realize that there has to at least be some consideration about securing their data. But that's what you guys' strength is securing data, even in a medical environment.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we've got, you know, we mentioned the 800 million claims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got that much data going through, you've got to secure it. You know, we secure our corporate side, the 100% of the TRICARE claims we secure. So we understand how, what it takes and how to secure healthcare data. You know, just again, from the perspective though, is that from a data center perspective, we have it covered. Now back to your comment about the Secure Data Day, you still, and you know, we assist in the education of the end user. You know, you're using the system is secure. Let's just be cognizant of what you do as a user to the system to ensure that we close all doors as possible.
Yeah. If you take care of your side of the road, I'll take care of my side of the road.
Right.
As long as you're not going to do anything stupid, you can guarantee that that information will be stored there accurately. I think this is one of the problems, especially with mobile devices and especially with physicians trying to make the mobile devices. I mean, the VA right now has got a test project. They're taking 1,000 iPads and putting 100 apps on and handing them out to physicians and just testing to see what happens. I mean, that could make someone like you very, very jumpy, couldn't it?
Oh, you know, I don't sleep well at night now. I can't imagine to have 1,000 iPads. But there are, you know, there are ways that we have transformed the delivery system of our systems to iPads and other components to help secure it. So I'm sure that the VA is approaching it in that same manner.
We're going to take a little break here and come back a little. We're going to talk a little bit about HIMSS, HIMSS-NCA.org. And there's an event coming up in February, February 21st. I think it's a Thursday evening. And your company's going to be moderating the discussion there. Is that right?
That's correct. We're very excited on that as well, that we'll be moderating that discussion. And we have in the studio with us as well our moderator for that day.
Oh, great. Well, maybe after the break we'll have her talk about who's going to be on stage. There's usually 4 or 5 luminaries and 100, 150 people in the room, and kind of an interesting conversation that takes place both during the official event and afterwards. I kind of like the conversations afterwards because you can grab someone like a physician and go, "No, really, really, are you going to really put that many iPads out there in the VA hospitals? You know, what, are you eating crazy pills or something?" Actually, he's a doctor. He can diagnose if I'm eating crazy pills or not, but I ask him some tough questions like that. We'll take a break. When we come back, talk more about the HIMSS event coming up and maybe focus in on virtualization challenges and maybe focus in on making a transition from mainframes to a new way of computing. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Lola Jordan, President, and Fred Rowell, CTO from Companion Data Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Lola Jordan. She is the president, and we have Fred Rowell, who's the CTO from a company called Companion Data Services, and they just toss out CDS like they live in Washington, D.C. or something. Everything's an acronym they toss out real quickly. Well, one acronym I want everyone to be familiar with is called HIMSS, H-I-M-S-S. There's a national capital chapter called HIMSS-NCA, and they're having an event coming up in February, and guess what? Companion Data Services is going to be moderating the panel at this event. And we have the moderator in person, Cindy, right here. Tell us your name and a little bit about this event that's coming up, please, Cindy.
Sure, John. So my name's Cindy D'Annunzio, and this event will be held on February 21st, and it's all about enterprise architecture. And, I mean, I think we all know federal health agencies are focused on shared services. They're focused on acquisition, mobility, you know, a lot of different things. And in order to do that, they really have to focus on their enterprise architecture. So at this meeting, we will have panelists who are charged with just that. They're charged with enterprise architecture deployment. So we have several panelists from the Department of Veterans Affairs, from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, from the Department of Health and Human Services, and also from the Health Resources Services Administration.
So it's a pretty wide range of people. I think if you're a federal IT professional and you're considering making a transition away from a mainframe system into something in the cloud, this is a great opportunity if you sit back and ask people security questions. There's always question and answers after, isn't there?
Absolutely. So the panelists are mainly there to answer questions. So there's questions from the audience. There's questions from the moderator. So it's a great way to get your questions answered.
Yeah. It's on February 21st. It's right in Roslyn near a metro stop, about 6:30 to about 8:30 at night. And it's a crowd of, you know, you can waltz through the crowd, and there's usually a half a dozen physicians there. I mean, it's some pretty smart people in this room, and they ask very pointed and detailed questions. I think it's really worth an investment of someone's time to show up at the HIMSS event. For more information, HIMSS-NCA.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
Great. Lola, may I ask you a quick question here?
Absolutely.
Tell me about your social media strategy. I know this has got nothing to do with cloud computing or moving into this IDIQ discussion. What about the cloud? Your company going to start participating more in social networking and the cloud and having a blog? If people want to read my blog, they can go to Google and type in John Gilroy blog, and then they find it. What about your company? What kind of transition are you going to make here in that area?
John, our New Year's resolution is that we're going to create a CDS blog. We will be launching a blog to highlight not only technology, but also operational challenges we understand. Stay tuned at www.companiondataservices.com. That's www.companiondataservices.com. We may even share our past expertise as an enterprise data center with some of our new partners joining the virtual data center contract as a collaborative tool. And of course, our secret sauce is Fred. He'll be sharing our knowledge.
Wow. So, Fred, this blog's going to talk about technology as well as operational challenges, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So what we're going to try to do is find out, you know, the topics. You mentioned a couple of them, mobile computing. How do you bring your own device to work? There's the virtualization strategies. And it really is to try to put out there start some conversation and really have some exchange of ideas and a way to vet out some of these things early on if you got new companies and new agencies that are just now undertaking it. And as far as the operational expertise, you know, again, we value that as a kind of a process that we have delivered and very successfully to our customers. And we want to share that because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is make, like CMS, the best it can possibly be. So
Fred, you're based in Columbia, South Carolina?
Columbia, South Carolina. You can tell from the
how many folks are down there working with this project?
Oh, so there will probably be a handful initially. We probably have less than 20 people working on it. But it's going to be supported by the whole IT structure, which is well into, say, 2,500.
Interesting.
Professionals.
So you're going to help out my guy from the House of Representatives with what kind of thermometer to use and
how
to measure temperature.
And we can tell him.
Well, I'll bet you can tell him very precisely, couldn't you?
Yeah.
If you manage data centers for a long time. Just to take up on this discussion of data center, if you go to companiondataservices.com, you can download a white paper, which I did, and this is a white paper on Mainframe Elimination Service Approach, MESA. It's a true acronym. It talks about, well, what are the best practices for making a transition from a mainframe to frame to a more cloud-based service? And there's very specific steps that you have involved, aren't there?
Oh, without a doubt. So, again, we have a long history, 30-plus years in the mainframe business, and we know what's happening in the industry. There's a lot of people about my age getting close to retirement that knowledge in that mainframe is just slipping away. So we took upon ourselves probably 5 to 7 years ago to put in place a retooling, retraining program. And so we've got that strategy set that for our internal support of mainframes. And then we said, okay, if we can do it for ourselves and we bring value, let's offer it as a service. So, you know, you hear about, you know, going and getting VMware and spinning these images up. What if you could do it for a mainframe? We're talking, you know, systems that are very, very costly to manage. And if you can bring it to one area that can do it and relieve you of that burden to do it, then bring it on because we're ready.
What I find interesting about the white paper is just ridiculously practical. It's down to earth. Step number one, look at the financial status of the hardware, the big iron. I mean, if you just signed a 3-year lease, you know, you're going to be locked in. But where are you as far as the time frame going? Nothing to do with technology. It's a practical business dollars and cents position. Where do you stand financially in this piece of equipment, right?
Oh, right. Because, you know, you got the labor. You got to take your labor piece. You've got the software and also your hardware. You've got to take in consideration. You know, are you up for renewal? You know, are you about to retire your specialist and you're going to be a void of any type of ability to manage that environment. So you've got all three aspects of that financial model you have to take into consideration. And are you ready or not? Well, based upon that, you know.
I'm one of these old-fashioned I actually have a paper calendar on my refrigerator so my wife and kids know where we're supposed to be and everything else. And I think that's what you have to do as well. You have to find out what time frame you're going to take and make this transition away from the mainframe. And how does that all fit in? And what are the pitfalls there? And someone who's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt is you, Fred, isn't it?
Without a doubt. I mean, and we can actually say that we've been transitioned from mainframe resources into our systems well over 150 times.
Yes.
Totally successful, no backlash at all.
So, Laura, you just pick the easy projects or you take them all?
No.
We'll take the easy ones. That would be a change, and we would really enjoy that. But usually
please,
we get
easy
the
ones.
Very
please,
complex
listeners.
Ones.
Yeah, they want easy ones.
Well, the hard ones make us better.
Yeah, yeah. I just I can't imagine the complexity involved in just doing this to a regular organization, let's say McDonald's or something. But here within the federal government, there's so many restrictions as far as, you know, security goes. And then the medical aspect to it is just, it makes it almost like walking through the data center in chains because you can't walk very fast. You're limited by so many capabilities, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt. And I can go back probably 15 years of our interaction with going through these security postures and being audited by these external audits. And every year they become more and more difficult. And, you know, you almost have to be willing to invest in the knowledge, the controls, the people to make this work. Because at the end of the day, it's our reputation, but it's the people within the taxpayers of this country that have entrusted this upon us.
Lola, when you think of moving to the cloud, inevitably people say one of the benefits is disaster recovery, DR. And you really don't think about it until stuff like Katrina hits and stuff like the storm hits New York. And all of a sudden, these backup services are valuable. And this is another benefit to this long-term transition to the cloud, isn't it, Lola? Disaster recovery services are going to be there because you can bounce data easier in one of these reduced data centers.
Absolutely. When you've got it in the cloud, and that's the whole purpose of the enterprise data centers and now the virtual data centers, and we like to tell people that CMS was very forward-thinking in that they've got one of the largest clouds that are private currently in operations. If you think about the fact that we have 2/3 of the claims and HP has another 1/3, and then you have 30 or 40 or 50 other vendors and entities within the federal government and outside of them, connecting to these data centers, they're connecting via the cloud. And the model for the financing is expansion and contraction based on, you know, a per claim per month type of activity. So they really truly already have the model for the cloud in place. And a little trivia point for you, because I'm the co-chair on the work group for electronic data interchange. When we were looking for breaches of data, we did not find one healthcare breach in the cloud. The breaches are occurring in these non-healthcare entities in the cloud. And so we really believe that if you've got the right security with companies such as CDS, with all the FSMA, CMSR, federal regulations in place, that we can secure your data.
We'll have to take a break. When we come back, we'll make a transition from cloud computing and talk a little bit more about social media and CDS's position with social media. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guests are Lola Jordan, who's president, and Fred Rowell, who's a CTO from a company called Companion Data Services, or CDS. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have two world-famous experts. We have Lola Jordan and we have Fred Rowell. They work for Companion Data Services, and they bring two perspectives on this transition to the cloud. Fred's perspective is more technical, and Lois is more line of business or just straight business practices here. And we've been talking about the CMS making this big 10-year transition and reducing the number of data centers from 80 down to maybe 8 or 10. There's a really incredible amount of work involved in all this. But before we get into more details about that, we have the mandatory 10-question test that everyone has to take. And I'm going to give the test to Lola first and see how she ranks in this one. 10 questions, Lola, see if you're in fact a card-carrying nerd. First question, what year did you buy your first computer?
In 1987.
87, that's pretty respectable. Year your first cell phone?
In 1994.
94, that's a little late, but and you don't have a Twitter feed, so you get a mark against you there, and you don't have a blog yet, so, and do you use any online personal backup services?
Oh, of course, for my email.
Okay, which ones do you use? Dropbox or something, or?
No, I just let AOL do the work for me.
What kind of phone do you have? Your smartphone, I assume?
Yes, I have a smartphone, a Samsung Galaxy S3.
Oh, a trendy one. Yeah, it's trending among teenagers. Apple is out, by the way. Samsung is in. Number of apps on that phone?
Too many to count.
Many, many. Okay. And do you have a tablet device?
Yes, sir, I do. I have a Samsung Galaxy.
Oh, you got stock in that company, huh? Okay. What kind of social networking sites do you participate in?
I have both Facebook and LinkedIn, and my husband wishes Farmville would go away.
Yeah, they make money on that, you know? It's incredible. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
Okay. Well, that's a respectable showing, but I think Fred's going to whoop you on this one. Okay, Fred, now let's see what you got here. Year you bought your first computer?
1986.
81 year. Did you hear her answer before or something? You're in big trouble. She's your boss, Fred. Write that down. Lola's my boss.
You said to be honest.
It should have been 88. I mean, come on now. Okay. Year you bought your first cell phone?
Oh, okay. Let me just say the first cell phone I got was not bought. It was company provided, and it was 92, and it was a bag phone. You remember the bag phone? So,
yeah.
What's a bag phone? I don't know.
It's BAG and BAD.
It was bad and bag.
And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I actually do have a Twitter account. It's WMF Rowell.
So. Okay. And do you have your own blog?
No, not yet.
Okay. What kind of personal backup do you use?
iCloud. And by the way, Apple may be down, but it's coming back.
It's coming back. Yeah, this is up and down. And a type of smartphone you use, or do we have to ask?
It's an iPhone.
Okay. Number of apps on that?
Well over 40.
40. What kind of tablet device do you have?
iPad.
Okay. Social networking sites?
LinkedIn. I do not do Facebook. It's just, I haven't got onto that yet.
Okay. And the last book read was electronic or paper?
It was paper because I hate this statement. You now must turn all electronic devices off.
You were doing so well, Fred. You got whooped by Lola on this one. You got whooped bad. I'm going to have to put this through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and I'll play out something on Green Bar and put it in the U.S. mail just as efficient as I can possibly
be. You got any punch cards?
Punch cards. Or even paper tape. That's how people used to store things in paper tape. I remember that.
Punch cards.
Yeah, punch cards. Yeah, my kids don't believe that, so. No. Oh, Lola got you on that one. Now she gets even more points. You got to act surprised. Wow, punch cards. Never heard of those. What I normally do in this part of the show is I get out a crystal ball, but the sports guys took it from me, so I don't have it anymore. But I'm going to hand a figurative crystal ball to you, Lola, and ask about this whole future of, you know, a 10-year project, millions and millions of records, billions of dollars, all kinds of different companies working together in this. This could be a drastic failure. This could be just a beautiful success. I think there's something called the ugly truth and the beautiful lie. You got to figure out which is going to wind up. So what do you think is going to happen here with this whole healthcare transition in the next 5 to 10 years? All kinds of success or all kinds of bumps? And what do you think is going to happen?
I think if you're relating it to the Affordable Care Act and the general upheaval in the healthcare system, we'll have bumps. But America's strong, and I believe that we'll come out on the other side with a stronger healthcare system than we have today. And, of course, we do have our challenges. CMS has the baby boomers coming through and the scale and number coming through there. But we shouldn't forget that our military forces and our VA has the large wars winding down and having to deal with the mental health and other issues coming out of those wars. So we have our challenges, but we'll overcome those.
So from a technical perspective, Fred, you kind of the guy with down your knees in the server room pulling cables and got your thermometer out. What kind of challenges are going to happen the next 5 to 10 years? You think this is going to be a success with these 8 companies or just going to be a miserable failure? What's going to happen?
I think it'll definitely be a success. So let me just kind of take a broader thing, throw some numbers out. This is the federal government statistics, and this is back from May of 2012. There's about 300 agencies. And within those agencies, there are about 10,000 IT systems. They employ probably about 2.6 million people, and their spend on IT is about $80 billion a year. So, you know, I know we kind of touched on a little bit about the enterprise architecture. You know, given that the whole focus of that is to align the business, the mission of these agencies to the IT innovations, the IT spin, and knowing what we've been involved with CMS and where they are in that line to achieve that level of enterprise architecture, they are one of the leading people in the government world in that world. So given that and given their position and the support they're going to pull in from us and also the other vendors on this VDC, I am confident that we will be a success and CMS itself will be a success.
VDC, Virtual Data Center Project, VDC, using all kinds of acronyms here. January, last month, Gartner had a report talked about the best and worst methods for moving to the cloud, and it differentiated just what you did. It differentiated between IT architecture and enterprise architecture. Okay, there's the nuts and bolts, but then aligning those nuts and bolts to the business problem. And so what I think you identified there is that, these cables are great, and the temperature is great, and the service is great, and all this virtual stuff is good, but what good is it if it doesn't align with the right. enterprise itself. So business goals is what I see as far as EA goes, enterprise architecture.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, you've got X amount of money, it's shrinking. We made a comment about that earlier. You've got to make sure that it's being applied to the business mission that you're trying to accomplish. And you have to align those goals. Are you going to run into a bunch of servers sitting over here, storage sitting over here, data that means nothing? And, you know, we're just not doing the taxpayer due diligence if we don't tackle this.
So as far as CMS goes, they're going to make a transition here. But I think what you have to do, Fred, is you have to design a system. You have to architect a system that's going to be flexible enough to adapt to changes. I mean, within the last 6 months, there were a lot of systems that could have gone one way or the other. We didn't know how they were going to go. Something changed, and they're going one direction. This could all change within 6 or 8 months, couldn't it? I mean, you have to design flexible systems for what happens on Capitol Hill.
Yes, we have to be agile. We have to be elastic. We have to deliver on a today requirement, but with the vision into the future. And, you know, one of the cautions to throw out there is that with the shrinking budgets in the federal side do you start looking, or let me back up and say it this way. You have to continue to focus on the future and the scalability. You can't deliver just point solutions to satisfy a RFP. You've got to be looking forward. We all have to be in this together to deliver the best value to the taxpayers.
And I think the value, Lola, with this limited number of vendors. Say there's just 8 vendors. I think some of the small businesses out there just couldn't even conceive of this number of records that you process every day. And so what's happening is when the EIQ is released to 8 vendors, they're assuming these 8 vendors are going to know each other and be able to work together and maybe have standards that will allow for transparency and ease of security in this operation. Isn't that true?
That is true. And if we don't have standards that align, CMS certainly has the standards that they employ and require us to follow. And so it's been very successful in following those standards in the current enterprise data center and the Baltimore data center, where HP, Lockheed, and CDS work together to make sure that we're staying in lockstep with the standards. And I certainly believe that that'll continue to be required of the 8 that's on the current virtual data center IDIQ.
Yeah, earlier in the interview, you mentioned EDI, and at first, standards. My brain just flashed on standards. And what good is EDI unless there's some kind of standards? And just because you know the standard doesn't mean you can implement them. And I think CMS has confidence in these 8 vendors that they not only recognize the standards, but they implement them as well.
Absolutely. That is definitely something that comes through loud and clear when you look at what was required in the RFP and the responses, is that they expect collaboration and that we're working together to bring standards and best practices actually to each other. It even says that they recognize that there's a competitive advantage in knowledge, but we have to share our knowledge.
They got to play well together, and I think that's what these 8 different vendors are going to do here. I think there's 9 vendors on this. We're going to have to end this conversation here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Lola Jordan. She's president, and Fred Rowell. He's the CTO of a company called Companion Data Services, or CDS. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.